In many ways, 2020 could be called an impossible year. There's been a lot of hopeless situations that we've had to deal with. Of course, the paramount being the pandemic that continues to take lives and shut down jobs, making a lot of people sick. This has been a hopeless situation for the whole world. But that was just the tip of the iceberg. Then we had all these other things that just kept coming as well. You may remember early on, we heard about the murder hornets that were coming into the United States, and then we didn't hear about that for a while. I thought, oh, maybe that threat is over. And I just read something yesterday. Nope, they've made their first nest. It's like, great. Another impossible, hopeless situation in our world. Then, of course, even in our own Twin Cities, we had racial injustice and racial divisions, rioting, another terrible situation that hit us. Then we had natural disasters. We had hurricane season, which was particularly bad this year. Wildfires out on the West Coast. We've got a politically charged season now. There are a lot of emotions with the upcoming election, which seems to be just another impossible cause. Lord, where are we to turn in this? And then I think the cherry on top has been the snow this week. Really? The earliest snowfall of this magnitude in recorded history here in the state of Minnesota. So many impossible and hopeless situations in our world, wherever we look. So I think the case could be made that St. Jude, our patron, could be the patron of 2020. He's the patron of impossible, hopeless causes. And we've experienced so many of those collectively, and I know that you've experienced them individually as well. Things that you've had to go through as families, as individuals. Lots and lots of challenges. But St. Jude, I think, can be a great help to us in this. He teaches us the way forward. He's a great inspiration to us. What do we know about him? Well, first we know his name. It was listed here in the gospel. And he has the same name as the betrayer, Judas. He was dealt a hard hand too. He was known by that same name, Judas, the one who would be a traitor. And it's because of this he's often listed last in the list of disciples, as he was today, number 11, right before the betrayer. It's been for this reason that some call him the patron of lost or hopeless causes. Because after we go through all the other apostles asking for their intercession, we think, well, we might as well ask St. Jude. He's there at the end. And so he shares this name with the betrayer. However, he's also one of the 12. He's one of the closest companions, the closest friends and collaborators with Jesus. Because of this, he knew about the resurrection and the crucifixion. He was a witness to both. He walked with our Lord for those 3 years of his public ministry. He saw him die. He saw him a failure hanging on the cross. But then he was a witness to the resurrection, the glory that our Lord would experience and show to the world. And so he walked with our Lord in those days following Easter too and was formed by him as one of the 12. St. Jude was a fisherman. Something we can relate to in Minnesota, right? All the lakes we have here, even our church, St. Jude of the Lake, right here on White Bear Lake. St. Jude can be close to us in that. You know, he was a fisherman on the Sea of Galilee. And so from all the way from Galilee to White Bear Lake, this fisherman, one of Jesus' closest friends, can be an intercessor for us. I like to remind people of those connections, especially in him being a fisherman and close to the water and the relationship it has with our parish, St. Jude of the Lake. Even his apostolic symbol is the boat. It's here on the loft. He has a symbol of the boat. It's what he's known for. And I like to remind people, even our structure of the church reminds us of being in a boat. You're in the nave of the church. We hear in that word nave, navy. You know, we are in the boat of the church, the ark, and we're on our journey to heaven. It's what the sanctuary reminds us of. And so St. Jude, the fisherman whose image is the boat, reminds us of that journey. And then lastly, what do we know about him? Well, ultimately we know he shed his blood. That's why I wear red today. He's what we call a martyr, a witness of the faith. That he chose to stand for the faith that he believed, even to the point of death. He had his own hopeless, impossible situation. He was facing his own death, and like our Lord, he freely accepted it, knowing that this witness would actually bring his own life and fruitfulness in the church. He's a martyr. He's a fisherman. He's somebody that we can look to as an inspiration. And he's like those martyrs we heard in the first reading from the second book of Maccabees, those seven brothers along with their mother, who themselves were in an impossible, hopeless situation, yet like St. Jude, they chose to stand for the faith. They stood for God's laws because they knew they were more important than the laws of any man. And their words to us today are so inspiring. I'll recount a few of them to us. One of the brothers, as he was being killed, said, "The King of the world will raise us up to live again forever." What inspiring hope. The next brother, he says, he bravely held out his hands, and it was from heaven. He said, "It was from heaven that I received these, and from him I hope to receive them again." Again, he speaks of hope. He speaks of a world that we live for, not of this world. And then the last brother to be martyred, it says, "The king marveled at his courage because he regarded his sufferings as nothing." The impossibility of their situation, the hopelessness they must have been surrounded by, it says, he regarded his sufferings as nothing. What hope for us we have in the saints, in the martyrs, in these who have stood up. They give us a great hope. They give us a great example. They show us that our citizenship is not of this world. Our hope is not in this world, no matter how good or bad it is. Our hope is in that citizenship we have in heaven. It's what St. Paul reminds us of today. He says that we are fellow citizens with the holy ones and members of the household of God. Brothers and sisters, we're members. We're built up as members of that house. That's our citizenship. That's the place where we find hope. He goes forward and he says that Christ Jesus himself is the capstone of that house. And through him, the whole structure is held together and grows into a temple sacred in the Lord, a dwelling place of God. So this house that we belong to, it's not just a natural house. It becomes a supernatural house. He says we have to grow into being a temple. A temple is different than a house. A temple, I think, is identified by two different things. It's the dwelling and place of God, which we hear from St. Paul, which we have here in our temple. But a temple, too, is a place of sacrifice. It's a place where we experience a renewal, a place where we bring our hopelessness, a place where we bring our sadness, our our doubts, our fears, our worries. The temple is the place where we experience transformation. And this is what St. Paul says we need to grow into, from being a household of God into a temple of the Spirit. And that's what we do when we come into our temple here. We bring our hopelessness. We bring our impossible situations. We hold them in our hands. And then we surrender them as citizens of the heavenly Jerusalem. Even as I said, our structure of the church helps us do this. We look here into the sanctuary and we see the crucifix. In every Catholic church, you see the crucifix. If we were to bring somebody in here who knew nothing of Christ, who knew nothing of the Catholic Church, they'd probably be pretty struck by that. Who's that hanging on the wall? That's our God. Why is he hanging there dead? We killed him. And he's become the symbol of our hope. He hangs there in all hopelessness, in all failure, in all impossibility. But we know that he rises, that his sacrifice on the cross actually has meaning, it has worth. And like the martyrs who imitated his death, we experience life. And even on this altar where bread and wine will be changed, so our hopelessness, so our impossible causes will be changed. They may not be changed in this world, but they'll be changed into glory in heaven. And that's what we bring here to the Mass. We bring our hopeless causes, we bring our impossible situations, and we place them on the altar in the shadow of the cross. You may remember that Archbishop Hebda was just here last year and he installed a relic of St. Jude in our altar. And we place all of our hopelessness and all of our impossible situations on the relic of St. Jude today. We place all of ourselves in this sacrifice of the Mass. We bring our hearts. And we ask the Lord that he would pour more hope into us, that we would recognize our citizenship in heaven, and that he has called us to be his temple.